We begin the current daf Masechet Pesachim daf Vav. We begin four lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with a question related to the previous sugya, and that is on the previous sugya we spoke about the issa bal yiro bal yimotzeh that chametz should not be found in one's possession on Pesach, and that there was a drasha that lacha that it's only your chametz is a problem, but someone else's, for example, a non-Jew's chametz would not be a problem about the prohibition of seeing chametz on Pesach and your rishos. Related to that was a discussion depending on what's considered a non-Jew's, or would be considered that you would be over even a non-Jew's chametz, which was the contrast between the pasuk of le'imotzi, which does not say lecha, and the pasuk of le'ira, which does say lecha. And we said that the criteria that would depend if that would make one chayiv on the nachri's chametz and not would be if you make kabbalah chrayis. If you make kabbalah chrayis, then we said that one would be obligated and on the chiyuv of being chametz, even if it's a non-Jew's. Whereas if there's no kibbalah chrayis, if you're not responsible for it, then one would not be chayv for the chametz of a non-Jew in one's domain. And one of the main characteristics of the halacha was what was called davar gerem l'mami k'mami dami, to be considered something which is a cause for money, for monetary value, that it itself will consider it as if it's money, and therefore, on some level, we said that that would be related to the discussion of if one has responsibility for it. So therefore, it's a garm lamamet for him, because it would get lost, or if it gets stolen, he would have to compensate the non-Jew for it. That would be considered lacha, and therefore one would be liable for that. Then we continue on. Similar, the Gemara asks, "Boi minei Rabbah," they asked from Rabbah the following question. Behemis arnuna, an animal of arnuna, which was a tax that the king had imposed, which he took a tenth of every animal and from the produce. So the question is, chayavis bebechayra or ain chayavis bebechayra? So regarding these animals from this herd and from this crop, do we say that these animals would be liable in the chiyav, which minatayr is to take the bechayr from the animal, or would it not be? Because as the Gemara says elsewhere, that whenever there's a non-Jew that has a partnership in the animal, it's exempt from Bechayra, that there is no chiv to give the firstborn to the kohen, as the Pasuk in Bamidbar Gimel says, Likal Bechayr b'Yisrael. However, not by others, and therefore this flock, which the tenth one is always goes to the king. So the question is, do we say that this animal would be liable to have the Bechayra go to the kohen, or do we say that not? And therefore, because since the non-Jew has some type of partnership in the sense of in the larger global perspective of this Eder, that every tenth one goes to the king, so therefore in this whole flock, there is some type of a partnership of the king. Do we say that now it's not full-fledged all the animals of the Jews, and therefore the Bechayra would not be just of the Jews, and therefore would not be Mechuyiv in the Matnas Kun of Bechayra? As the Gemara says, Kol Heicha D'Matzi Mesalik Le'Bezuzi, that wherever you could exempt yourself from this tax of the tenth of the every animal or from the produce by giving the king, the government, money, then loikum and boil on the chayiv. Then we definitely don't have a question that one would be chayiv in the chayiv of Bechayra to give it to the kohen. And the reason is because since the non-Jew did not merit yet in the animal, the tenth one, and it's not even full-fledged the rights that he has in the animal, more than the monetary value of the animal. And since you could say that you don't have to give him the animal, only money, so that's obvious that then you would be chayiv, because we don't view him, and this is related to the sugya of it's a dav ha-goyim. In other words, there is some type of a hypothetical, virtual type of a schus that he has in the animals, but that's what we're saying, if you could give him money, then we definitely don't see him as an owner in the animal, and therefore it would be mechayiv and mechayiv. The question we had was, when you cannot get away from the tax by giving him the monetary value of the animal, you would have to give him the animal. The question is, what do we say over here? Would we say that since we view him as a part owner because of the rights that he has in the animals, and therefore it would be exempt from Bechayra or not? So the Gemara says, Amalahu, he said to them, Ptura, that the person is exempt. And but that is based on this idea that since we see the king as having some type of ownership over here, so therefore it's not only Bechayr Yisrael, and that's why one would be exempt from the Chiv Bechayr. On that, the Gemara asks, "What Tanya Chayavis?" But we learn the Raisa says that in this same exact type of case, that one is liable for the Chiv of Bechayr. And that the Gemara says, "Hasim the Matzim Misalikli." That's exactly the case that we had mentioned before, that there was no question about where you could exempt yourself from the tax by giving the monetary value instead of the animal. That is the case when one would be chayv and bechayv, because then we don't view him as our owner at all. But in the case where you cannot exempt, you have to give the animal, then one would be chayv in the bechayv. Igadam, let's say a different version. Amar Rava, that Rava said, "Behemis arnuna p'turim in the bechayv," that this animal of the tax that the king has the right in the tenth animal, so this animal, that it's exempt from the Bechayra, Rava says, that even though you could exempt yourself, which we had assumed up until now that everyone would agree that since you don't have to give him the animal, you can give him money, and he didn't even take the rights to it yet. So this 10th animal, which would go to him, but you don't have to give to him, would be Chayv Mechaira. And this second version, Rav is saying that one would still be exempt. And the reason is because as long as you did not exempt yourself with giving him the monetary value instead of the animal, so he is considered a part owner in the animal by virtue that he gets this animal because of the tax. And therefore, though you could give him the monetary value, that's only like an exception. In other words, that's undoing what really is his in the animal, and therefore one would be exempt. However, Rava does say, whereas isis are nuna chayeves b'chala, but the dough of the tax is chayev b'chala, v'avakav d'loy matz misalikle, and even there that you cannot remove yourself is, that you have to give the dough, in spite of that, there one would be chayev in the chiv of chala. And that is, although that there is halacha that says that a dough of a non-Jew is exempt, and the Jew could eat it even without taking off chala, because it says in the pasuk, "Arisei seichem," only your dough, but not the dough of a non-Jew. But this case would be chayv, which you can ask my time. What's the reason? It seems to be the exact opposite of what we said. That we said that even when you could be misalik yourself, we said by the animal that you would have that it would still be potter. And here, where we said you cannot be misalik, and yet in spite of that, we say you can be chayv mechala. And that the Gemara answers, "Behema is lekala, isa less lekala." Regarding an animal, it's heard, and people know that this is what's being taxed by the government. Whereas by a doe, no one can tell, and it's not such a object that would be defined clearly that this is something that's given as a tax to the government. And therefore, someone that sees is going to say, "Hey, this person is eating his doe without taking off challah." But by behema, we said that there is a kala, everyone knows, and therefore there's no problem. And by not taking off b'chayr, people say, "Oh, we know, because this is the one that's being taxed by the government." And that's why there it's even, as we said, even if he could be misalik, but as long as he's not, the government has a part. But by dough, even though you're right, in the sense that it definitely is not arisei seichem, because the government takes it away, but still, because people might see and think that you're doing it by yourself, because there is no kail, therefore one is mechayv chal in that case. And as Rashi explains, although there's a braisa that says chayeves, according to this version of the Ikadami and Rava, we have to say that that was a reference to Isa, to Do, because according to the second version of Rava, all cases of animal, even when matz misalikle, one would be putter, so therefore the other braisa that, as we asked, we learned chayeves, must be going on Do, not on an animal. So now the Gemara continues on this halacha that we were speaking about in the previous daf, regarding the chametz of a non-Jew. What's the halacha? As we had said, it says in the pasuk of Le'ir Halacha, and the Isra of having seen chametz in your possession on Pesach says Le'ir Halacha, that you should not see your own, and we exempt it, but when it's not your own. So Tanabon learned the braisa. Nachri shenichnis lechatzir shel Yisrael ubitzeke v'yadim. A non-Jew that goes into the courtyard of a Jew, and he has dough in his hand. Braisa tells us, ein zak levar, you do not have to eliminate that chametz from your possession. And that's as we had said before in the previous stuff, which the term was aval ata roi shalachem. It's only lecha, at your own chametz, you can't see on Pesach. But you could see the chametz of others, in other words, regarding the chametz of a non-Jew. However, the braisa says, if the non-Jew deposits his chametz by you, and the Jew accepts responsibility, as the Gemara later on will explain, then the Jew has to get rid of that chametz before Pesach. Yichid lebayis, however, if he designates a place for him in his house, in other words, he says, "Look, I'm not taking responsibility, but here's my house. You want to put your stuff, put in one of the corners, do whatever you want." Then in zakuk levar, then he does not have to get rid of it. Shenem, like it says in the pasuk lo yimatze, that it shouldn't be found. Which the Gemara right away asks, "My kama, what is this pasuk shlo yimatze that lo yimatze as a proof to show that when you designate a spot for him, that then you don't have to be mevarit?" So Amar Papa, our Papa says, "You're right. It's areishakai. This pasuk of lo yimatze is going back on the first part of the brayso, v'hachikama." It's not going to bring a riot to what we just said regarding putting it in the corner. Rather, if we said in the beginning of the braisa, "Hifkidu etzlai zakuk levar," that when he deposits by you, then you do have to do beer. And shenema, that's because it says in the pasuk lo yimatze that it should not be found, like we had said in the previous daf, where in that pasuk lo yimatze it sounds like in all circumstances, and it doesn't say lacha just by you. That's only by pasuk lo yira that says lacha, and therefore that would include even something that's not yours, which would include even the chemtze shel nachri, as we had said on the previous daf, that it's idea because you're mekabel achrayus. So therefore, one would be liable even if it's a chametz of a non-Jew. But Rav Ashi and Rav says, no, lo el ma sefer koin. In truth, it's going back on the sefer, because that would be the mashmois. It would be pash pshados in the braisa, because after it quotes that last halacha in the braisa, it says, shenem lo yimatze. It sounds like it's going on the last halacha. However, how do we understand that? How do we learn from Lo Yimatzi, which sounds like it's creating an Isser, to tell us this halacha of Heter, that when you put him to the corner, that it says, look, you want to do whatever you want, then he doesn't have to get rid of that non-Jew's chametz. And as Rashi tells us, that because this explanation of Rav Ashi is telling us that Lo Yimatzi is mashma, that what's found in your possession, that is what you could, that you could do with it whatever you want. And that, in other words, Yimatzi, it's found for you, you could use it for what you want, which means, when is that? How can you use someone else's thing? In other words, when you're Mekabel Achrayus, then it's like yours. And this is what the Brais was saying. If you designate a spot for him in your house, then you do not have to get rid of it. Shenemar, because it says in the Pasuk that what is the prohibition of having? Lo yimatzi bevatechem, it should not be found in your houses. V'holavdidehu. But this is not like his. Dinachri ki koma'al, because when Dinachri brings it in, lebeitzu dinavshi koma'al. He's bringing it in into his own house. In other words, in the sense that not only that it's not found for him to do whatever he wants with it, but it says bevatechem in your house. In a sense, this is not even your house, because now that's his house, that corner, wherever it is that he's putting it, it's his, and therefore it's not my responsibility, and therefore I'm not over on lo yimatzi bevatechem. On that, the Gemara asks, so again, so this is the explanation of Rav Ashi, that it was going on the Sefer to tell us this exemption, based on the Pasuk, not like the other Pshat that said of Rav Papa that was going back on the Reisha. On that, the Gemara asks, lememra de shechiras kanya? So are you trying to tell me that rental is like an acquisition? In other words, you're telling me that the reason why he's exempt when he just says, look, put it wherever you want, go into my house and put it into that room, and it's your room. It's not my responsibility. So therefore, we're saying you're exempt from the Bir HaChametz because it's not Bevateichim. It's almost like the non-Jew's house. And obviously, because of the rental that he's renting it to him, that domain, it's as if he acquired it. But we learned the Mishnah, the Masechta of Dezara in the first parak, says that you're not allowed to rent houses to non-Jews in Eretz Yisrael. But in Syria, you're allowed to rent. And definitely in Chutz La'aretz, you're allowed to rent. So although you're allowed to rent, but however, afba mokim sha'amru lahaskar, so even in places where we say that you're allowed to rent to idol worshippers, but loy lebeis dira amru, we didn't say that you could rent it to them for residential purposes where they're going to live, rather where they could put their animals or their wood, but not for him to live. And the reason is, because he's going to put avodah zarah, all his idols, into that house, and you're not allowed to let avodah zarah come into your house. So now the Gemara asks, Visa Gudaitif the Schiris Kanya. Now if you're gonna say the way it sounds like you're saying that rental is an acquisition, that it's not your house anymore, and that's why when he puts into that room, yeah, go put your chametz over there, do whatever you want, I'm not taking responsibility. It's like he's renting it and therefore it's like he purchased it, so it's his house, not Bevateichem. But then Kikama Ayel, so when this non-Jew is that you rented this apartment to this idol worshipper, when he comes in and brings all his avodah zarah, all his idols in there, lebeis dinafshikum al, he's bringing it to his own house. I'm not responsible for his house avodah zarah. I'm only responsible for my house. But if he's renting it from me, it's shechiras kanya based on what you said. So what's the problem over there? So the Gemara says you're right. In truth, shechiras is not kanya, obviously, because if it was kanya, then one wouldn't be responsible to if he rents out an apartment to an idol worshipper. And we see it is a problem. But shani hacha, here it's different. Because here the Torah utilized the terminology, which we had explained already in Rashi before, of lo yimatzi that should not be found. That is, misha matzi biyotcha, that this, that when it's something that's in your ability to attain. This is excluding this case where it's not in your ability to completely attain this object, because that corner was given over to the non-Jew. You're right. Generally, Schiris is not Kanye. It's not really his apartment. It is your apartment. It is Bevateichem. But it's not Lo Yimatze. It's not totally found for you to be able to get this thing, because I'm giving over the rights to utilize it, at least, to the non-Jew. And therefore, that's not included in Lo Yimatze. And that's why it wouldn't be exempt. But again, not based purely on the principle of Schiris Kanye, because Schiris is not Kanye. It's just because it's not included in Lo Yimatzi, and that's why one would be exempt in this case, and that's why the Pasuk Lo Yimatzi, according to this interpretation, was going on the exemption of when Yichud Lo Yibayis, when you designate a corner for him to use. So now on this topic, again, of Chametz, what is the halachas regarding on Yamtiv? I'm Rabbi Yehuda Merav. Hamaitzi Chametz Bebeisa BeYamtiv. If someone finds Chametz in his house on Yamtiv, what do you do? There's the Isra of Lo Yiralocha, Lo Yimatzi. So the halacha is Kleif Alav Es HaKleif. You take a kli, you take a vessel, and you turn it over on the chametz to cover it. And the reason is why you don't just get rid of it from your house is because it's mukti, you can't move it. Now, the truth is, as Rashi tells us, you're not really over on the issa d'iraisa of Bal Yirah, because the halach is, as one does, that you already mevatl it in your heart from yesterday, from before Yom Tov, as the Gemara later on will say, that even someone that does a bedika has to do a bitl in his heart. The only problem is you might forget. that it's Pesach and you're going to see a nice good cookie on the floor and you're going to eat it, that's why you have to cover it, but not because of the Isser per se of Leira. However, Amar Rava, Rava qualifies this halacha and he says, Imshal Hekdesh u'intzach. If this chametz is chametz of Hekdesh, which is not his own property, it's designated for Bedek HaBayis or for the Beis HaMikdash, then he does not have to cover it. My time, what's the reason? The reason is Mivdil B'dil Minay, because people, even during the weekday, people are customary, they know this is Hekdesh, they stay far away from it, and therefore he's not going to come to eat it on Pesach. Similar halacha, again with the, many of these halachas from Rabbi Yehuda Merav, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Merav, Chemtzei Shel Nachir, regarding the chametz of a non-Jew, which was deposited by him, but he didn't accept the achrayus, he didn't accept responsibility, and therefore he's allowed to keep it by him in his home, Oyseloi Mechitza. He has to make a mechitza partition on the 14th of Nisan from before Pesach, Asar Tzvachim, that's 10 Tzvachim, Mishum Heker, as a sign, as a recognition that he shouldn't forget and come to eat it, because if it's going to be out in the open, they might come to take it. Now, as Rashi tells us, the reason why you have to make a mechitza, and it's not enough as the previous case that said that you could just cover it with a vessel all 7 days, because the reason is, a vessel, a cup, a bowl, a plate, whatever it is permitted to be taken on Yom Tov. And over 7 days, you might come to take it away and then it's going to be exposed. Now, however, whereas the last case that we just explained where you cannot make a mechitza on Yom Tov, there's an isser of creating a mechitza. And therefore, since it's only one day of that day of Yom Tov, it's enough to just cover it with a kli. And at night, then you're going to go ahead and burn the chametz. And therefore, in this case, where it's for the entire Yom Tov that you're keeping the chametz there, because not getting rid of it, the guy deposited by you, so therefore you have to make a mechitza to totally separate it. However, again, the Gemara qualifies, v'imshal hekdesh u'enetzach. However, if this object that you're keeping of chametz in your house for 7 days is hekdesh, then you don't have to make a mechitza. And the reason is my timer, mivdol b'dili inshim, and again, because people stay far away from chametz and not going to come to eat it mistakenly on Pesach. Another halacha regarding this halachas of chametz, V'am Rabbi Yehuda Merav, again from Rabbi Yehuda Merav, he says, Hamafarish, if someone goes, he leaves some dry land, he goes onto the seas far away, or V'hayitz B'shayar, similarly, if someone goes in a caravan to a distant place, so then he's leaving, now he's going away for a long time. So it depends when he leaves. Kaidim Shleishim Yom, if he leaves more than 30 days from before Pesach, Ein Zokuk Levar, he does not have to do Bir Chametz, he doesn't have to get rid of eliminate the Chametz from his possessions. But if it is within 30 days, then he has to already do bir chametz if he's going away for this long period of time. And the Gemara later will explain what's this period of 30 days. It's regards to the time period where one already starts discussing and asking the halachas of Pesach before Pesach, which are 30 days before. And that's when the chalois, that's when the chiv begins, which of all the halachas of Pesach. And therefore, if you're leaving within that time period, one would have to really do a bir of chametz, eliminating his chametz. Now, Omar Abaye qualifies this halacha. He says, "Had the Amr teich shleishim yoyim zok levar." This that we said that within 30 days of your leaving on the caravan on this long trip, that then you would have to do bir chametz. Says le'amar el shaday tilachzer. We only said this if his intention is to return within the days of Pesach. Avol in day tilachzer in zok levar. But if his intention is not to come back, then he doesn't have to do bir chametz because what's the difference? He's not going to be oivan lo yirah lo yimatz. He's not going to be around anyway, and therefore, even if he leaves within 30 days, Abaye says he's going to be exempt. However, Amalei Rava, Rava asked to Abaye, what do you mean? If you're telling me that this chiv of Toich Shloishim is only if he intends to come back, what do you mean? If he intends to come back within the days of Pesach, even if he leaves on Rosh Hashanah, he's leaving 6 months before, even then he would have to do a bir chametz, because when he comes back on Pesach, then he's going to be over on the Isser of Bayera at that time. Because when he comes on Pesach, we already say that the chametz is not in his domain anymore to be mevatlet, because it's what's called the Isser Hanoah, and once something becomes Isser Hanoah, it's not his anymore. And therefore, when he's going to see it, he's going to be over on the Isser Bal Yirah. So what do you mean? How could you say that this chiv of Teich Shleishim is only if he plans to come back? If he plans to come back, it should be even a half a year before you would have to do beer, because you're going to come back in the middle of Pesach and you'll be stuck seeing these Isser Hanoah, and you can't be mevatlet. And you can't, and it's mukta, and you can be even bal yira. So Elam Rava, rather Rava says the following qualification. He says, "Hod amrit koydim shloishim yom in zok levar." This that we said that if it's before 30 days, that then you do not have to do beer because the chiyuv was not chal yet. It only starts 30 days before, so therefore you don't have to do beer if you're leaving more than 30 days before. La'yamar nelesha in day tolach. So we only said that it's exempt if he does not intend to return within the days of Pesach. But if he is intending to come back on Chol HaMoed, let's say, then even if he left on Rosh Hashanah, he would have to do beer because you're going to be stuck with the Isser. So definitely that's mechayev you to do the beer now, even on Rosh Hashanah, even in the beginning of the year by Tishrei time. Now the Gemara explains, Rava, based on this interpretation, that one will be, so to speak, stuck in the middle, it goes according to his opinion elsewhere. Dama Rava, the Rava says, Ha'isa beisai oitzev, if someone makes his house into a storehouse, and that is, he puts all his produce over there. Now, underneath the produce is chametz. And the Gemara on, later on like, tells us that chametz, that a whole pile of rubble falls on top of it, it is considered halachically like beer was done to it. That it was eliminated because since it's totally under this pile of rubble that one cannot reach, therefore we say it's like not here anymore. And that would be a kima of beer chametz. So therefore, if one makes his house like a storehouse, which is now he can't get to his chametz, it's all totally under this pile of produce. So on that, Rava tells us, if this is before 30 days, where again, as we said before, that means the chalois of beer chametz did not begin yet. And therefore, when the moment of the 30 days does start, he's not mechuyev, as we said, because it's already considered as if beer was done to the chametz, as if the pile of rubble fell onto it. So then, ein zakuk lavar. Then the person would not have to do beer chametz when it comes time for the 30th day, and not before, because the chiyev doesn't start before 30 days. Toich shleishim yoim zakuk lavar. However, if he made his house into a storehouse within 30 days, then he would have to do bir chametz because l'ketchila, that's not considered the bir of chametz. Bir chametz is done, for example, with burning, but not just putting a pile of rubble on it. And therefore, since he made it to storehouse within 30 days, then he would still have to do bir. Now, and this is the qualification. The kodim shleishim nami lo yomaran, and even before 30 days, we didn't say that the person would not have to do bir. If he does not intend, over Yom Tov, of course you piled all the pile of produce on it, and it's like it's beer, like it's eliminated with, like as if a pile of rubble is on it. And that's because now before 30 days, so the chiyuv of beer doesn't begin then, and therefore when the 30 days comes, it's like it's not here anymore. But it's only if you don't intend to, let's say you're going to have tons of guests, you're making a simcha, and you're going to take out all of it on Pesach, then if you don't intend for that type of thing, that's when you potter. But if you're intending to take out all that produce and uncover the chametz on Pesach, then even before 30 days, that is mechayiv even now, before 30 days, where there is no real chiyuv, based on what's going to happen on Pesach. Again, the same principle that Rava had told us, that even if you're leaving Rosh Hashanah, if you're intending to come back, although, like you could say, svar that maybe Abai would hold that, what do you mean? You're right, I'm going to be a problem then, and that doesn't make a chiv now. And that Rava says, no, because we know there's going to be a problem then, that makes the chiv even now, and you would have to do it even Rosh Hashanah time, and you would have to go ahead and burn the chametz that's under the pile of the produce, even now before 30 days, if you plan on uncovering it on Pesach. But now the Gemara asks, on this Ikra Halacha, which everyone agrees that the criteria is 30 days. Where does this come from? Why, if you're leaving before 30 days, one is exempt? And if it's after 30 days that one is chayiv, why is that the timeline for the chiyuvim of Pesach? So the Gemara says, like we learned in the Braisa Machloikis, Shoylin B'doshin B'Hilchas HaPesach, we ask and we lecture in the Halachas HaPesach, before Pesach, 30 days, and according to that anonymous opinion in that Braisa, is where we're coming from, that it's based on this idea of 30 days, that's when the chiyuv is starting, that's when the halachas begin. He says, Shtei Shabbosos, 2 weeks before Pesach is when the chiyuv of the asking and the drashas of Pesach begin. So the Gemara is my time at the Tanakhama. What's the understanding of the Pinyan Tanakhama where he says that you ask and you lecture on the halachas 30 days before, which is what we're basing our halacha, that's when the chalois of the chiyuvim of Pesach begin. So we continue on to Amid Beis, where the Gemara says, Shari Moshe, Amid BePesach Rishon, because Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar was standing on the first Pesach, in other words, on Yudal Nisan, Umazer ala Pesach Hasheni, and he was already lecturing in the halachas of Pesach, the second Pesach, which is 30 days later, which is on the 14th of Iyar. And therefore we see that 30 days before is when you begin to lecture about the halachas of a Yom Tov. Shenem, like it says in the Pasuk in Bamidbar, V'yasu b'nei Yisrael es ha-Pesach b'mayad, that the Jewish people did the Karban Pesach in this proper time, which is on the 14th of Nisan. Uchsevin, it says over there, at that time, that there were people that were richly impure, that they were tamei, and they were complaining we couldn't do the Karban Pesach. And then Moshe Rabbeinu said, oh, you're going to do Pesach Sheni, which is on the 14th of Iyar. So you see that 30 days before, he was lecturing on the halachas of the Pesach, and that's the source for Shleishim Yom Koidim HaChag, that you're going to lecture on the halachas. Rabbi Shimon would tell you that's not a proof, because I did the Arab in Mil de Pisco. Once they were talking about the halachas of Karban Pesach, which was Negeya, which was applicable for the 14th of Nisan, so Masik Luchal Mil de Pisco. So they concluded with all the halachas of Pesach, which includes Pesach Sheni, but it's not that they were doing it for the virtue of being 30 days before. It's just that they were anyways discussing the halachas of this Pesach, so they concluded with the halachas of the other Pesach. But then the Gemara asks, my time in Shemim Gamliel, what's the understanding of his opinion that it's 2 weeks before? So he brings his raya, Shari Moshe Oymed Beresh HaChedish, because Moshe Rabbeinu was standing on Resh HaChedish, Umazer Ala Pesach, and he was warning the people, he was telling them the halachas of Karban Pesach, which is 2 weeks. Resh HaChedish to the 14th is 2 weeks of 7 days. Shneimer, like it says the pasuk in Shemois, HaChedish Hazeh Lechem Resh Chadashim, that this month, the month of Nisan, should be for you the head of all the months. Uksivan, it says over there, Dabrel Kaladas Yisrael Lemer, speak to the Jewish people in the following halacha, which is Ba'asul HaChedish Hazeh, that in the 10th of this month, Ve'yikhulem Ish, Seh Leveis Ovis, Begaimer, that they should take a sheep for every household, etc., etc. You see, he's talking about the Karban Pesach, which comes right after the pasuk of HaChedish Hazeh, that he's talking about on Resh HaChedish of Nisan. And therefore, you see that it should be 2 weeks before. But then the Gemara asks, Mecha Teisa. How do you know that the following pasuk right after was talking about Amresh Chaydish? Dilma ba'arba b'yarchoi, b'chamisha b'yarchoi. Maybe that next pasuk, time is going, it was on the 4th or the 5th of the month. How do you know that it's necessarily that it was Amresh Chaydish that he said it to learn out this halacha of 2 weeks? So, Ela Amar Rabba Barasimi Mishmeid Ravina, Mahacha, from a different pasuk, we could prove this halacha of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that it's 2 weeks before. That it was on Resh Chaydish that he was telling them about Karban Pesach, which is 2 weeks later. Like it says, "V'yidaber Hashem al Moshe b'midbar Sinai." That Hashem spoke to Moshe in the desert of Sinai. "Bashan hashenis b'chodesh harishon," in the second year, on the first month. And it says over there in the pasuk, right there, that "Vayasu b'nei Yisrael es haPesach b'me'adah," that the Jewish people did the Karban Pesach in this proper time. So we see that there where he had been speaking about in the second year, in the first month, which was by Resh Chodesh, that then they did the Karban Pesach. You see that he was telling them the halachas of the Karban Pesach on Resh Chodesh. And then the Gemara asks, what do you know that it was on Resh Chodesh? Maybe that was on the 4th or the 5th of the month. How do you see from there that it was on the 1st month that it was talking about that it was on the 1st of the month? Maybe it was the 4th or the 5th. So Amar Nachum B'Yitzchak, he says, no, we could tell you that when it says over there, B'Midbar Sinai, it must have been talking about on Resh Chodesh. And therefore, when it says that they did the Karban Pesach, that these are halachas that they told them about on Resh Chodesh. How do we know that? Because Asya Midbar b'Midbar, we learned here it says Midbar, and somewhere else it says Midbar. And Ksiv Hacha b'Midbar Sinai, here it says that it was in the desert of Sinai that he told them these halachas, and that they did the Karban Pesach. Uchsiv Hasim, it says within the pasuk in b'Midbar, v'yidaber Hashem Moshe b'Midbar Sinai b'Oil Moed. Hashem spoke to Moshe in the Midbar of Sinai in the Oil Moed, be'echad l'chodesh hasheni, on the first of the second month. Now, Malahan Resh Chodesh, just like over there, it was on Resh Chodesh, because it says on the first of the second month. Now, the first of every month is Resh Chodesh. Avkan Resh Chodesh, so here also where it says the same word Midbar, it's also talking about Resh Chodesh, and since it was on Resh Chodesh that they had been telling them of the halachas, which they later did of the Pesach, we see that you teach about the halachas about 14 days before, 2 weeks before the Yom Tov is when you start darshaning the halachas of the Pesach. Now the Gemara asks a general question, nothing regarding our sugya per se, but rather on the organization, the order of the parishes in the Torah. The Gemara asks, "V'nichtev bereisha the chedesh rishon." Let it first write in the Torah regarding the first month, "V'hada nichtev the chedesh sheni," and then let it write about the second month. In other words, let's see which parasha was written first. The parasha of Pesach was said first because that's in the first month, which is on Nisan, as it says, "B'chedesh rishon lemer." Now the parasha of Pekudim was said in ear time. So the difficulty is, why did the Torah go ahead and preface in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, talk about the parashas of Pekudim, which is the parasha that we just quoted from the other pasuk, and this parasha, the parasha of Karban Pesach, and parasha of Baal Loischa, which that was on Nisan, and whereas the parasha that was said in the next month of ear was said before. And that the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Menashe bar Tachlif Mishmei Rav Zeis Emeres." From this, you can conclude that although the pasuk that we brought from Bamidbar Sinai Baal Moed, which was in the second month, that was said in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, whereas our other pasuk that talks about the Karban Pesach, which was said in Nisan, which comes before that, was said only later in Parashat Vayeshlach, that ein muktim u'me'ucha b'Torah, that the Torah is not particular about the order of chronological order, what comes first and what comes later, and sometimes that what really came later is said before in the Torah. On that, the Gemara explains that Amar Papa lo yamarin ela betrei inyanim. This was only said by two different parishes. In other words, two different subject matters that are being spoken about. But in one topic, in the order of psukim, in that same parasha, my demuktim, muktim, my demochem ocha. In other words, if it's one episode, for example, with Kairach and Moshe, or whatever it is that they're having this episode, there it cannot be that it was out of order. There it must be that it was in the proper order. As the Gemara says, because we don't say this, that in the order that it was written is how it was said, that we have a klal, a klal prat, in b'chlal el mashab prat, that when there's a general statement regarding a certain halacha, and then a particular regarding it, that we say that what was in the general category is only how we find it regards to that particular, and that is because we came and said a particular regarding this halacha, we say that the prat is essentially the klal. So now the question is, how do we rely on this klal or prat to make this drasha of one of the midah shabbat Torah? Dilma prat to klalhu. Maybe essentially it's really a prat than a klal, which has a totally different halacha. And the reason is, because if you're telling me that there's no specific order, even in the same parsha, then how can you say it's a klal prat? Maybe it's the reverse. Maybe the prat came was said first, and therefore it's a prat to klal. Vesu, and moreover, in the reverse, same thing have is prat to klal. We say when there's a particular, and then the general statement. We say nasa klal moisav al prat. We say that the general statement comes to include much more than was there in the particular. That you shouldn't say that, oh, you only have the halacha, how this particular was said, or something very similar to it, based on the principle of binyan av. That's why the pasuk adds on a general statement to include everything, not just the particular. Even something that's not similar in the sense to the prat. Again, how can you rely on that? Dilma klal pratu. Maybe it's really a klal prat, which has a totally different halacha, like we said before, that it's ein b'chlal mashab prat, because maybe it's out of order. Maybe it's the reverse. Maybe it's not prat to klal, maybe it's klal prat. And therefore, that's what the Gemara proves, that obviously that we say that there is muktima mu'ukhar batayra, that there is a particular order when it's in one parsha, therefore then we can know for sure that this is a klal and this is a prat, and therefore we could say klal prat or prat a klal. But that the Gemara asks, ihachi, if that's the case, but then afila betray in yoni nami, then even in two different parashas, you have this question, but if we say klal prat, when one of them is in one parsha, another one is in another parsha, then we do have the problem of that you say in mukim mochabat Torah, because we only said in one parsha that it has to have a proper order. But and that would be based on, and as the Rai was from klal prat. But yet you said in two different parashas, no particular order, but when you have klal in one parasha and prat in another one, again, how do you say klal prat? To which the Gemara says that it wouldn't be a question that when the klal prat are very far from each other, that then you do not give it the status of this midah shabbat Torah of darshening the klal prat. That would make sense. Which is this machlokes maseches menachos in on daf nun heimad beis and in baba kama on daf pei heimad aleph. So according to that madama, of course it makes sense. We don't say klal prat when they're far away. So therefore, when they're close together and they're one parsha, then of course we would say that it has a proper order and we know it's klal prat or prat to klal. However, it is difficult. According to the one that says we will say klal, even if a klal here is a prat is over there, we'll say klal prat, but it's on two different parishes, then maybe it's out of order. Maybe it's not really klal prat. Maybe it's really prat or klal. So the Gemara says, no. Even according to the one that says that we will say klal prat, even if they're far away from each other, that's only in one parsha, but in two totally different topics, then we will not say that it'll be a klal prat. And that's again based on the principle we can't say klal prat. Because in that type of case, when it's two different parshas, it's ein mukna mukha batara, maybe it's not true, maybe it's not klal prat, maybe it's really prat to klal, because it's not necessarily that this story came before the other story. Again, now the Gemara goes back, another statement from Yehuda Merav, talking about the halachas of Bedikas Chametz. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda Merav. HaBoidik Tzarech Sheyevatel. Someone that checks for the Chametz, and he's getting rid of all the Chametz, he still has to do bitlas to nullify it in his heart, right after he does the Bedikah. And he says this statement of Kol Chamira, De'ika Bebeis, HaDein, Levatel, that all the Chametz, all the leaven that's in my house, should be batel, should be like earth, it should be nullified. To which the Gemara says, my time, what's the reason? What if he's getting rid of all the Chametz? Why do you have to do bitl? And that the Gemara tries to resolve and say, if you say it's because of crumbs, and therefore, since you might not find it all, and then you're going to have chametz in your house, so you have to do bittul, but they're not significant. And even if you couldn't get it out of every crumb, that's not going to be a problem of chametz. Now, and if you're going to say that, no, crumbs would be a problem. Because although it's not chashev, and it's not enough to be significant to be chayiv, And in a sense, because since it's not imachashav, it is inherently batal. You don't have to do a bittul, but maybe you're going to say that kibun demintaluhu agav beisei, since you are protecting the crumbs by virtue of being included in your protection of your house, and that is with all your other possessions, you're protecting as you lock the door at night and to protect, and therefore that would include everything in your house, even the chametz. So therefore chashivi, that would make the chametz chashev by virtue of being included about everything in your house, and that's why, even though they're crumbs, it would be chashev which would require bittel. And that the difficulty is, but that type of watching and protecting those crumbs are not intentional. In such a case, would we say that that would give a chashivas to the crumbs? But by the time we learn the braisa, it says seifet te'enim, that by the end of the, when they would gather all the figs, they would be plucking the figs from the trees, that you would find figs on the fig trees that weren't, they would never fully ripen. They weren't going to be good quality figs. However, but the person is still protecting his field because of the grapes, that it didn't come time for the grapes to ripen, and therefore he's not protecting it for the figs per se, because that he doesn't care about anymore. But because of the grapes, that it didn't reach the time for their harvest, so he's still protecting the field. Or, similarly, let's say it's the end of the times of the grapes, which then you have some grapes left over that are never going to fully ripen and mature. But the homeowner is protecting his field for the things that are inside of him and not for the grapes, rather because of squash plants and because of the gourd plants. That's why he's protecting his field. So then the halach is as follows. At a time when the homeowner is particular about, even though it's these figs or these grapes are not going to be fully ripe, but he still wants them. So then asur mishum gezel. Then they're forbidden for other people to take because of theft. And they would be liable on the chiyuv of meiser if the homeowner goes and plucks these unripe grapes and figs, or if he gives it to someone else. However, bismach ein balabais makbala, at a time when the homeowner doesn't care about them, these are not good grapes, I'm not really taking them, I'm just protecting the field because of my other crops, then muter mishum gezel, then they're permitted to take because of theft, there's no problem. Ubatur mishum maisa, and they would be exempt from maisa because since they're hefker, they're ownerless, hefker is putter from maisa. But basically, the question that the Gemara is asking from this is, although you have a case where you're protecting your field for other things, for squash or for the grapes, now the other things which are insignificant to the person, we do not consider them chashav based on the virtue that he's protecting his field and they're inside of it. Therefore, the question is, what would be the necessity of doing bittel? The person is anyways getting rid of all of his chametz, and if he wants to eat the crumbs are not chashav. And now, if you're going to say that the reason why they're chashav is because you're protecting your entire perimeter of your home, and this is inside of that area, so agav, the rest of the house, it has chashivah, but we see clearly in the braisa that's not so. That we see when you're protecting your field, but this you don't want, that is not considered chashav based on the fact that you're protecting your entire field. And there's no problem of gezel, there's no problem of ma'aser for it. So Amar Rava, Rava says the reason why there is a chiv to do bittel, even though l'chari you're getting rid of all the chametz from your possession, is gzeire, it's a decree. Shema yimtze gluska yafi, you might come on Pesach, you might find a good roll, v'dayte ilovei, and you're going to have intention on it. It's going to be something that's chashiv to you, and you're not going to want to, this might be even on Erev Pesach, you might not want to burn it. Now you're going to leave it even for a small moment on Pesach, and you're going to come to be over on Bal Yerah, Bal Yematzah, and that's the concern. But once you already nullified all your chametz in your heart, then you're not over, because that it only says in the Torah, tashbisu. You have to get rid of it. You have to eliminate it. And therefore, since you're nullifying it, it's like earth by you, and therefore you're not going to be over, even if you find the roll. On Yom Tov, that's the reason why, because you might find the roll, and then you might want it, and therefore be over on the iser of tashbisu, of the iser of Bal Yerah, Bal Yematzah. And that Gemara asks, but what do you mean? V'chimishkachas le'levatli. When you find it, then do bittel. Again, you're saying the whole concern is that you might find it. And if you're going to find it, you're going to want it, and you're going to be even Bal Yerah, Bal Yematzah. That's why you have to do bittel before Yom Tov. What do you mean? When you find it, do bittel, then it's not going to be yours. And therefore, you're not going to be even Bal Yerah, Bal Yematzah. And the Gemara says, no, Dilma Meshkachas Le'Labasa Yisur. You might find it only after the time that Chametz becomes Asur. V'la B'shu Sekayim, and at that time, it's not considered his anymore. V'la Yematzah Yimavtel, and he cannot do bittel at that time. That's why you have to do bittel from before Pesach. And why is that? As Reb Elazar says, there are two items, there are two things that are not really in the person's domain. However, but the Pasig equated it as if it is in his ownership, and hence that he's going to be chayv on them. So it's like a halachic rishus that he has over it, which is not really his, but we make it his to be mechayv him. Ve'eluhen, they are. First, a pit in the public domain, that if someone opens up a pit, he's going to be liable for all damages that happen in that pit. Now, although it's not really his pit, rather it's the pit of Hefker, it's ownerless because it's in Rishus HaRabim. Now, although he dug the pit, but he doesn't acquire Rishus HaRabim by digging inside of it, still we say that although it's not really his, but we consider it his for liabilities that happen inside of it. And v'chametz mishei shoy sulamayla. And chametz from 6 hours after 6 hours in the day on Yudal Nisan, although it's not his anymore because it's already Yisur Hanah, and Yisur Hanah is not considered yours, but we consider it his for him to be chayiv on the Isur of having possession of the Chametz, but the idea is basically that he cannot do Bittel anymore at that time, because it's not really his, and it's only his to be chayiv on, and that's why you have to do Bittel from before Pesach, from before that Zman, because you might come to find it on Pesach, and then you may have a Balyor or Bali Matzah, because then you can't do Bittel anymore. That the Gemara asks, but you're right. But v'nevatli ba'arba v'nevatli b'chamish. In other words, why did we have to do the bittel at nighttime, which is when we do the bedikah of chametz on the 14th? Let rabban mimasakin for everybody that they should be mevatli before the time of the issa, which is in the 4th hour of the day in the morning on the 14th of Nisan or the 5th hour. Why do you have to do it already on the night before? And the Gemara says, kiven de lav zman isuruhu. The reason why you have to do it at the nighttime is because in the 4th hour or the 5th hour, whenever people want to do bittel, since that's not the time of the Isser, v'lavzman biurhu, and it's not the time of when they're getting rid of the chametz, dima pasha, the person might be negligent. In other words, he might forget, and he's going to come to negligence, because what's going to remind him to do the bittel of chametz, v'le mevatle, and he's not going to do the bittel. If we allow it for whenever the person wants to, he might forget. There's no cue reminding him to do the bittel of the chametz. But now, where you're doing the bedikah of chametz on the night before, then you're going to remember, again, there's nothing concrete to remind the person, and that is why we designated the time of bir chametz, of bittel chametz, by the time when the person does the bir, which is the time of the bedikah chametz, on the night of the 14th. But again, that's why there's a chiv to do bittel in the first place, because one might find chametz on Pesach on a beautiful roll, and he's going to want it, and that's going to be over on Baal Yerua, Baal Yimotzah. So you have the chiv of bittel, and the bittel has to do dafka at the time of bedikah, because when you're doing something, a concrete thing, that's going to be a cue for you to say, okay, let's get rid of it totally. What do I have to do? Let's go through the checklist. Bedikah, and I have to do bittel. But if it was at a different time in the morning, any arbitrary time, that would be something that possibly people would forget and be pesheya, and then he's going to have that problem of being over possibly by your matzah when he finds a roll on Pesach.